Welcome to episode 35 of Podwarp 1999. We said this would happen. On the call today have Ben Padden.
Oh, hello.
Mark Mekas.
Hello.
And myself, Tom Truskowski. We'll let everyone introduce themselves again, since you've probably forgotten who we all are.
That's okay. We've forgotten
million,
who we are.
Billion years. We're basically terrible people, I think, that's the fundamental crux of what we're getting at, is that we are terrible people.
Awful, awful
people. Abandoning you.
Actually, Tom and I earlier decided we were going to blame this on time loops.
That's right.
It's all temporal interference.
That's a good reason to blame something.
Yeah.
Yes. Signs are in a time loop. There is a new episode of Podwarp 1999.
Yes, that's a very good indicator that you are trapped in some kind of temporal anomaly. You know what would be a really weird temporal anomaly is if Tahib were on the call with us.
Ooh.
If he were here, that would be a hell of a time loop, because that would be like 2008 territory.
That's right.
It's true.
Back to the beginning.
As in the year, not the imaginary Stanley Kubrick movie that doesn't exist.
Oh, right.
So who are we?
Well,
great. Fantastic. I guess I'll start there.
Who are you guys? I don't even know who you guys are.
Well, I'm Ben Padden. I am the co-creator, head writer dude for Jump Leads, which is a British sci-fi comedy webcomic that is ending very soon. And I'm also working on other things that I will wait to mention.
All right.
Because I don't know whether there's any kind of structure to us discussing.
Structure.
Mark Mekas is a beatbox.
I'll jump in. I'm Mark Mekas. I do the comic Zortik and Saucer Seekers, and it's been so long that I think we all have some new stuff to talk about almost. So I'll be introducing more stuff later.
All right. Well, I'm Tom Truskowski. I do the comic Station V3 and its assorted spin-offs. I guess my news is pretty quick to get out of the way. Since the last time we did an episode, Station V3 turned 8 and 9.
Yay.
Woo!
Oh.
Not on the same day, I imagine.
Not on the same day. Well, same
that
day you're apart.
That puts things in perspective, doesn't
yes.
it?
Again, affirming the fact that we are terrible people.
Yes.
But congratulations, that's great.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Those are two pretty awesome milestones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So any big plans for number 10 next year?
Updating.
Another spin-off?
Actually, I did consider another spin-off, but I don't know. Is 3 too many? Is 4 too many? I don't know.
Aim for 10, one for each year.
Was one too many?
Didn't All in the Family have like 8 spin-offs?
Oh, yeah, there we go.
So, yeah, it's fine.
Or Happy Days.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know, the problem is which spin-off becomes Joni Loves Chachi or Blansky Beauties or...
True.
They can't all be winners.
That's right.
So Ben, you have something really cool coming out soon, don't you?
I do. Okay, so Jump Leads has been going since 2006, and will, actually 2007, I started working on it in 2006, but Jump Leads will be coming to an end probably in the next couple of months, depending on our update schedule. We're kind of updating on average once or twice a month at the moment, which is largely down to whenever the artist, currently the artist is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Philby. He's been helping us finish the current issue. And then once that's over and done with, that is over and done with. That's the end of Jump Leads as a webcomic, unless, you know, someone throws a huge bag of money at me or something. I've been working on other things. I've been working on a couple of web series, and I've got some paid writing work, which is always very, very nice. But I will be launching a brand new webcomic on June 12th, in fact, called Deadlong. It's written, created and written by me. Art is provided by a fantastic animation student in the UK called Samantha, Sam Davies, who is, I don't know if you've seen any of the work that I've posted so far, but her work has got a real kind of organic feel to it, and there's a lot of kind of fluidity and kind of implied motion in her work, which, you know, kind of makes sense because she's an animation student. Deadlong is a departure from science fiction comedy. I will be transitioning over to fantasy comedy, which is what everyone has been asking me to do for the last 4 years or so. I've had, you know, Tahid would ask me, and Paul Spencer, who did Clutching at Straws, and a few other people would constantly ask me, you know, you've got the sci-fi thing down, why don't you try doing a fantasy webcomic? And my reaction to that was always, no, that's what people expect me to do. I'm not going to do what people expect me to do. And then this idea I fully formed in my head, and I started writing it. And I liked writing it, so I kept writing it. And then I found someone to draw it. So that will be launching on June 12th.
Right.
And we have a website, which is just deadlong.com. We're on Facebook doing a little bit of promotion, which is just facebook.com/deadlong. I'm rambling. I think I've missed rambling with you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, now we have to go off on a tangent, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But the previews
isn't
are
technically discussing a fantasy comic is technically on a sci-fi podcast is technically a tangent. Sure,
I think we've had that discussion before, haven't we? It's too bad Jim isn't here. I think he'd have something to say about it.
There's a very thin line between science fiction and fantasy. In fact, I'm sure there are many people, Jim included, who would argue that they are in fact the same genre.
Well, yeah.
Well, it depends. Did a wizard do it or did a monolith do it?
Yes.
There you go.
I thought the monolith was a wizard.
Or is the wizard a monolith?
Who among us can say?
If you put a pointy hat on a monolith, you could call it a wizard.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, you can call it whatever you like. It's not exactly going to complain.
Right. And there's our tangent.
So, there we go.
Nice.
It feels just like the old days.
It does.
So if anyone still has Podwarp Bingo out there, or the Podwarp drinking game, you know... You got a couple squares.
I'm sure the 5 or 6 people who were actually playing Podwarp Bingo probably died of liver poisoning before we even went on hiatus. Yeah. It's a dangerous game. It's a very dangerous game. It's the deadliest game, I would say.
Yeah.
But we have to put a hazardous to your health warning up when we upload this episode.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Maybe we can stick that on the artwork.
Yeah.
Although maybe the Nerdist would sue us into oblivion. Who can say? And furthermore, who cares?
There we go.
Hey, is there any such thing as bad publicity? I don't know.
We're about to find out.
So, Ben, you said Jump Leads is you're planning on wrapping it up. Do you have an actual end for it? Is it just gonna, you know, kind of where you're stopping, or is there actually going to be some sort of resolution?
It's 50-50, because when we first wrote the current story, which is called The Voyage Home, which was not intended to be the last story, although we set it up as if it was going to be, which is kind of fitting, really, considering. But when we first wrote it, the intent was... it would look like Meany and Llewellyn were finally heading home, and that their adventures may be coming to an end. We're keeping the ending we wrote for the comic. I'm not going to spoil what that ending is, but we are keeping the ending as written. I've actually extended this a little bit. The ending that I've added to the comic is basically how the next issue would have started. I wanted this to kind of be the end of the webcomic, but not the end of Meany Llewellyn's adventures out in the wider universe. I like the implication that they're still, you know, they're still alive and kicking, and the story doesn't end just because I'm not telling it anymore. They're up here. They're in my head. They are always going to be, you know, getting into shenanigans and situations. And I still have, you know, there are about 4 or 5 issues worth of content that, you know, no one's ever going to see because we're basically stopping the comic. But we've had this conversation before. I wrote months, sometimes years in advance on Jump Leads. So
any possibility of releasing that as like you know, just written prose or short stories?
Actually, at the moment, considering doing audio plays, I've actually written an adaptation of the first issue of Jump Leads, which the intent of that was to basically serve as an introduction to Jump Leads. A pilot, and then the stories that would come after that would be brand new stories. They wouldn't be adaptations of comics. There'd be brand new stories featuring Mini and Llewellyn. It would kind of, it would basically be its own continuity. It would be what the Red Dwarf novels are to the television series. I owe you $20.
Ah.
Yes.
That's 11 minutes into the show. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Actually, did pretty well.
I thought I did quite well.
Yes. Quark, Star Lost. There we go.
Ah, memories.
Yes. I see Logan's Run is out on DVD now.
Is it really?
The TV show, yep.
Ooh.
Oh, God, really?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That was about the same time as the Planet of the Apes TV series, wasn't it?
I think around the same time.
Yeah.
All those mid-70s science fiction shows lasted about a season each.
Right.
The fun thing to do is look at the writing credits and seeing how many of the same writers worked on all of them. I mean, if you look at...
I think it's going to be... No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you look at, like, even go back, you know, Star Trek and Star Lost and Logan's Run and possibly Planet of the Apes. I haven't looked at the writing credits there in a while, but you know, you see some of the same names pop up in all these shows.
Well, the supporting actors, too.
Supporting, right.
I'm all over the place.
Yep.
It's very interesting. It's going to be interesting for people who discover, you know, Firefly and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Star Trek Deep Space Nine and Battlestar Galactica, who discover these shows and, you know, see all the connections between, you know, the various shows that came out, you know, in the 90s and the aughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be... Oh, Jane Espenson worked on pretty much every show that aired between 1993 and 2027, so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So...
Mark Shepard, I think, is a guy that I've seen on everything.
He has literally been in everything. I'm fairly confident he was in an episode of Hannah Montana. Not that I've watched the show or anything.
No, you just heard that somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I have a niece.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure.
Benjamina.
Yes, you have your sources.
Exactly.
Other people, not you.
Other entirely separate, you know, independent entities who are autonomous and have their own lives and credit cards and keys.
Right.
You know, it's nothing to do with me.
That's an impressive niece.
Yeah.
She's actually older than me. She's 29.
And watching Hannah Montana.
Of course.
Of course.
It stands to reason.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't stand to reason at all, but... I actually have some interesting sci-fi related news that I discovered today from a coworker,
ooh.
And that is that the Alien Anthology Blu-ray box set is currently $30 on Amazon.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It's $30. 30 American dollary dues.
Wow. That's the whole...
There is literally no reason, unless like me, you're poor, not to buy it.
And we'll put a little pause right here, so you can... You don't even have to hit the button. We'll give you time.
Yeah.
Just go time.
We'll sit and type. You know, we will wait for you.
Yes.
Because that's just the kind of people we are.
Mm-hmm.
This episode of Podwarp brought to you by Amazon.
Yes.
And 20%...
I just bought a Blu-ray player the other day, so I'm all set. I'm ready to go.
There you go.
Yeah. Actually, I got it specifically for John Carter.
Ah.
You're a bad person. And that's the thing you bought it for. Wow.
Why not?
That and you had to replace the Betamax.
Well, I wasn't going to jump on the HD bandwagon, but the Green Lantern Extended Cut came out of Blu-ray, and I thought, well, I need to... Damn pixels.
I had to see what all
they finally about. released Death to Schmorky on Blu-ray.
So how was John Carter? I didn't see it.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. I think their biggest mistake was the marketing more than the film itself.
Hmm.
So
that's usually the case.
Yeah.
I know, okay, this is going to set me up, but I actually liked it better than Avengers.
And the hate mail starts in 3,
here we go.
2,
here we go, yeah.
We'll put a pause here, you can go and you can type, we'll wait for
you. Type out your hate mail.
Podwarp 1999 comic ostrich.
That is true. I liked Avengers, but I thought it was, you know, it all the story was in the other movies, and that was just the finale, which was nice, but, you know.
But you can actually send me hate mail, too, because I actually haven't seen the Avengers yet.
Ah.
Oh, you are a bad, bad man.
Yes. On the last episode of Podwarp, we were talking about the Green Hornet.
Oh, wow.
I didn't see that either.
Oh, that's cool. I did. I bought it for my dad on Blu-ray because he wanted to see it. And, wow. Just quite. It was an experience in that, in the same way that childbirth or, you know, having an enema is an experience.
Actually,
in fact, it was exactly like an enema because it was painful and unnecessary.
But the Mythbusters episode of the Green Lantern Mythbusters episode was actually pretty good. Better than the movie.
Hmm. Is that on the Blu-ray?
I don't know.
Who do we know? Who
I don't
has
know
the...
either.
I stroke my chin in an inquisitive manner. Yes.
Bingo.
I don't know. I could... Are we going to talk about anything specific, or are we just going to ramble for a million years? Because I approve of both.
Yeah, well, both are good, but I think Mark has some news.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I got all kinds of
new
stuff.
I guess.
What do you got going?
Well, I've written a book. This isn't science fiction, but it's kind of comic-y. It's called Acting for Artists. I've kind of taken a bunch of acting exercises and applied it to the drawing process. So that was a lot of fun. That's available in as either a PDF at EntirePrizeEnterprises.com. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble for the Nook or Kindle. That's been going pretty well. I got at MegaCon, I did a live demo. I got some people up on stage acting out some comics and stuff and had a really good response. So it's something fun, something different. It's a different approach to drawing characters.
Yeah. I read the sample PDF you sent me. I found it very interesting.
Cool.
It's going through some of the exercises, like, you know, what's the character's motivation. So I found myself actually thinking, what is the time eel's motivation? It was actually helpful.
What was the time eel's motivation?
Well, it wants to take over reality, but it wants reality to be in good condition first.
Nice.
So that's why the time eel is doing what it's doing.
That's not spoilery, is it?
Not that spoilery.
That's just the motivation. He didn't say if he succeeded at the motivation or not.
No.
This is true.
And the space eel's motivation is to hang out and see what the time eel gets wrong.
So not only have I written a book.
Good process.
I've also gone into the world of game design with a kind of a steampunk spy role-playing card game called Steam Spy. So that's kind of fun. So, yeah. I'm not sure, does Steam Spy qualify as science fiction?
Possibly.
I kind of like steampunk, though, because it's kind of Flintstones-ish, you know, in that you try and figure out, you know, modern technology and how they would do it in that era, you know. Instead of rocks and sticks, it's, you know, cogs and...
So, well, let's not give the Flintstones writers that much credit where the idea, how did they do it in that era? No, what they did was they took a rock and then they made it look like a television and then it's a television. That was the thought process that the creative minds behind the Flintstones went through.
Well, there was the record player that used the bird's beak as a needle.
Yeah, or the dictaphone thing.
Let's stop and actually think about the Flintstones car for like 2 minutes when you realize actually it would be far more impractical for him to push this admittedly round rock, these two rocks, pulling them along with his feet. There's no convenience there. That's not for his benefit. That's how you get a hernia.
No, there is a convenience to that, because without the car, they won't let you into the drive-ins. So you had to have the car to get to the drive-in.
That's a fair point. I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm sorry. I'm a fool. how could I have possibly questioned the brilliance of the Flintstones? I hope in time you and our readers can forgive me.
Yes, this was on our list. The Flintstones, science fiction. Well, wasn't there a Flintstones meets the Jetsons kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there was a movie. It came out in the 90s or whatever,
I mean, that would,
absolutely.
There has to be time travel involved there, I would think. So, you know, there's got to be some science fiction there.
Well, but sure.
Of course, it could be from the Jetsons side. I haven't seen the movie. So
well, come on, you got the Great Kazoo. Of course, it's science fiction.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yep.
That was just in the last season of the Flintstones, though, right? When they were like, we need an idea to make this show slightly less dull.
Yeah, probably.
Wasn't there the follow-up to the Jetsons that didn't happen, so they turned it into the Partridge Family in space instead?
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, so what?
There was like a science fiction cartoon sequel to the Partridge Family that I heard was originally supposed to be like Jetsons 10 years later kind of thing.
Huh.
Hmm.
Well, there was a Gilligan's Island in space. Gilligan's Planet.
Ah. So there you go. Everything's a science fiction as long as you add in space or in time to the end of it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree.
Jersey Shore, in space.
Mork and Mindy, in space!
Jersey Shore is already science fiction, though, isn't it?
It's full of...
I don't know what planet Snooki's from.
Yeah. Yes, that's,
you know what I like most about recording these podcasts is the stilted, awkward dialogue.
Yes.
And the awkward pauses, in particular, is the highlight.
We've got that down to any plans.
Yeah,
we have it down. I can't believe people don't want to not listen to this.
Yeah.
Well, but it's all right. We can blame the writers, you know. It's all about the writing.
Yep.
And, you know. So as long as you can pass the buck.
So there's two more squares for the Podwarp bingo. Awkward pause, which is probably on the list already, or everybody talking at once.
We've hit both of those several times in the last 20 minutes.
We do not recommend this as a drinking game.
No.
You will die.
Yes.
Before the episode is finished.
Donate your liver to science first, if you're going to do that.
Make the arrangements.
Yeah.
The person who's going to collect your body should be on their way over as you are playing the game. They should be in their car driving over to pick up your corpse and put it in the back of their Ford Cortina.
Yep.
Good plan.
So what else we got?
Oh, I got another project, too. I forgot to mention. I'm just shotgunning it. You know, something has got to be successful.
You're just making stuff up now to sound more impressive.
I am kind of a spinoff of the Saucer Seekers. I am working with a ufologist named Dr. Lynn Katai, who did some stuff on the Phoenix Lights stuff. She's done a documentary. She wrote a book. She's... you know, like a real person. And she contacted me about doing a teaching curriculum for UFOs in schools and has asked me to do some artwork for it. And I'm actually developing a comic. Here's a Podwarp exclusive, first time anywhere. What we're doing is we're teaching kids how to be kind of the first step towards being a field investigator would be a field observer. So we're teaching kids to be field observers. And the mascot for this is going to be Sue F.O. It's kind of a UFO Nancy Drew.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is genius. You are an unparalleled master of your field.
Yep. So I'm actually working on a comic with her that's, you know, she's helping me write it and get all the UFO stuff right. And we're going to be doing this kids comic on, as part of this teaching curriculum. So,
is it going to be going online anywhere, or is it exclusive for these students?
I don't know yet. You know, probably at least starting, it's just going to be exclusive for the students. But I'd love to see it expand some more, maybe get some stuff online and see how it goes. And go for
cartoon series, some books, maybe some toys.
But right now what you're telling us is this, there's this fantastic thing you're working on and we can never see it.
Well, I'll get some images out
there.
Right. You know, get it in your kids' schools. What the heck? But yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. You can tell the kids the difference between swamp gas and weather balloons, right?
Exactly, right.
All right.
And that's really just, that's worth it, just to be able to tell kids that fundamental basic thing.
Yes. And there's awkward pause number 7.
27.
Yep.
But, on the subject of crossovers, which is this awkward segue between the Flintstones and Jetsons thing mentioned before.
Oh, yeah.
You had forgotten about that, hadn't you? I was at a comic store recently and bought a crossover of Star Trek Next Generation and Doctor Who.
I saw that's out, yeah.
Oh, I'm getting that tonight. One of my housemates is runs the local comic book shop, so he's bringing me home the first issue.
Yeah. I have it in my hands as we speak.
And that's the Next Generation
stuff. Any good?
Right,
Next Generation and 11th Doctor.
Nice.
Obviously, don't spoil it for me, or I will have to murder you.
Okay.
But how is it?
It's pretty good. I think I'll be getting the next issue. There will be one. I don't think that's too much.
Okay, I hear the arts.
How long is
it? I hear the arts not very good.
Well, it's a little different. Not sure exactly how to describe it. Characters are recognizable, more or less.
Arty?
Yeah, a little...
More or less.
Like, not sure exactly how to put it. Kind of like a soft kind of looking sort of thing. Not exactly smudgy, but, well, maybe sort of. Sort of like, in some cases...
Kind of smudgy.
It's kind of like a smudgy photo. In some ways.
Interesting.
Yes.
Do you know how many episodes it's going to be, or how many issues?
No, I don't.
It's going to be at least 4, I know that much.
Right. Okay. I figured there had to at least be a second one, unless this is a really strange ending.
4 seems kind of like the standard number for that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a trilogy of 4. They said
Douglas Adams would like a word with you.
Yes, well. Here's what they say. They said it couldn't be done, but we did it anyway. Two of the most beloved sci-fi franchises in all of pop culture meet for the very first time in Star Trek Next Generation / Doctor Who, Assimilation Squared, number 1. You don't want to miss this one no matter what universe you hail from. So there you go.
Well, I'll be reading my copy tonight.
On episode 36, you can tell us what you thought of it.
In another couple of years' time?
In another couple of years' time. Hey, do you remember back, you know, the... The one observation is making at the comic store is just amazing it took them this long to get this done. You would have thought they would have done this years
indeed.
Ago.
I thought there had been a...
That is indeed.
I think I'm thinking of the Star Trek and X-Men.
Right, there was that crossover.
Yeah. Planet X. The less said about that, the better.
I never read that.
Don't. Do you just do yourself a favor and pretend it doesn't exist?
Pretend what doesn't exist?
Right. Quark.
There we go.
It's really the only way to go.
It is true.
So what's the thought on crossovers? Good idea or cheap publicity stunt? Or both?
It's a good idea for a cheap publicity stunt. Definitely.
There you go.
The end. I'm glad we have this talk.
Yes.
You know, it's funny because I had always swore I was never going to do any crossovers when I started Zortik, and just, you know, avoiding it at all costs, never going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve Troop wrote me one day and said, hey, we should do a crossover. And, like, and pitched this idea. It's like, all right, how do you say no to that? And so.
See, and the rest, of course, is history.
What you should have done is swear that you'll never make millions of dollars doing Zortik.
You're right. You're right, yeah.
The next thing you know, someone will contact you, offer you millions of dollars for it, and there you go.
True.
That's clearly the way to go.
Yes.
It's a good plan.
Let me try it. I will never make millions of dollars doing Station V3.
I believe it.
Yep.
That's mean, I know. Yeah, I'm a terrible person, but... Yep.
Let me see. What's this? The Project Wonderful add up to? Ooh, 10 cents a day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, given enough time, that 10 cents a day, you know, that adds up.
Well, absolutely it does. Sure. Right. So have you done any crossovers?
Me?
Yeah. No. Okay.
Ever?
Ben, you?
I haven't. I was at one point talking to Chris Drabb about doing a Jump Lead Star Slip crossover, and I did actually participate in his that epic. I forget the name of it.
Yeah.
The Ultiverse War that he was doing.
Yeah.
I technically participated in that because me and Llewellyn did make an appearance, and then Chris stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, I take it back. There. Now I think of it, there were a couple. Little crossover, not anything as part of the official strip, though.
Mm.
There was a project a couple years ago, I think it was called the Webcomic Secret Assassin, where you were assigned like someone else's comic character and you had to kill them off.
Oh, wow.
So I think there was one of those where I think I got the comic Squaresville and had one of the characters from that comic show up on the station and get eliminated as a security risk.
Makes sense.
Yep. So there was that. Does that count?
Sure, why not?
Sure, why not?
There we go.
So have there been any really good crossovers, though, of anything?
The Flintstones meet the Jetsons was a tour de force. No, I don't know. The Star Trek Deep Space Nine Babylon 5 crossover that exists in my head was an unparalleled success.
Well, there's one. Does the Deep Space Nine original series crossover count as a crossover? They're both Star Trek.
Yes.
The Tribbles.
I liked that. If that counts. I like it, even if it doesn't count.
I also like that.
Yes.
Okay. How about the Avengers? Is that a crossover?
Nope.
Okay.
The end.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with having a podcast that is supposed to be about discussion and we're not discussing, it's just me shooting down ideas, which in fairness is what classic Pod Warp is all about.
That's true. That's true. That really...
Ooh, we should have a crossover episode.
Ooh.
You know what? We should start now, and then our time loop episode is a crossover with a crossover episode.
And then the universe ends. And then there's an awkward pause. Number 32.
That was the universe 32. Ending. That was a thematic thing.
Ah, I can put a sound effect there.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
Sorry, I'm eating cake.
Yeah. Eating cake?
I'm eating cake. Helen made cake for me. Helen, my wonderful girlfriend, by the way.
Nice.
Who I don't think I was seeing when we last recorded an episode together.
Probably not.
And we've been together nearly 3 years.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She loves me despite the fact I'm a fundamentally terrible person. I'm also, at the moment, while I'm recording this, I'm lettering a dead long strip.
Ah.
Nice.
You working up a buffer on those?
Oh, we got a hell of a buffer. You have no idea.
If you were to die tomorrow, yeah, there would be 5 years worth?
Probably not that much, but okay, it would keep going for a while.
There's a topic for discussion. Buffers, good idea?
It would stop abruptly.
Or bad idea?
I think it's a great idea. If Chris Straub died today, there'd be no chainsaw suit tomorrow. Probably.
I'll avoid that.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Buffers are good.
Keep going.
Yeah. Buffers are a good idea, but I never seem to have one.
You know, I always used to be really good about buffers, but I have completely fallen off, and I finally back up to like a week worth, you know, a week ahead, but I've completely lost my buffer ability.
Yeah. Of course, when I really need one is when I don't have one.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, we've always been really good with buffers, with jump leads in the writing. The art, not so much. But I'm starting to fix that with Deadlong.
Yeah. Well, I'm better. I'm not too bad at the writing. Yeah, I have writing ahead for several months, but the actual artwork, the finished product, isn't there yet.
Follow-up discussion. Stick figures, good idea, bad idea?
Yes.
In order to get a buffer? Maybe.
I approve of whatever it is you just said while I was eating my ramen.
Oh, good.
What flavor?
Ramen flavor.
Ah. It's like a recursive.
I did something weird earlier today.
Oh?
Weirder than usual. I tweeted Alien versus Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea of a loaf of bread trying to hunt down and kill Arnold Schwarzenegger amused me. And then that was followed by a stream of other bread-related movie puns.
Such as? I've seen them, but whoever's listening might not have.
I can't remember what I tweeted. Breadman Walking, I think, was one of them. The Quick and the Bread. Fear and Loafing in Las Vegas.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's a good one, yeah.
The Bread Loaf Society.
Hmm.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are bread. Uh-huh. Which is my personal favorite.
Now, if only someone would make these movies.
No, they'd probably end up looking like a scary movie. They'd be terrible. Film studios don't know how to do parodies anymore.
No. That is definitely true.
Yeah. I haven't seen a good one of those in a while.
You know what this podcast needs?
Bread?
Podcast needs a moderator, someone to keep us on track, and bread also, but we need someone to keep us on topic.
That's true.
Yeah.
The end. I didn't say I was going to do anything about it, I was just pointing out that it's something
just, you know.
But then we wouldn't be us.
That's true.
That is true. We are our own special snowflakes.
It's part of our charm.
That's right. That's what we're calling it. That's why we need guests.
That's true.
Guests seem to work as a moderator. Because they have no choice. They get in here and it's like, what is this? You know, we got to keep this going somehow.
Yes. This is true.
Yes.
Yeah. But to do that, we got to get people to like us again.
Sure.
And this episode is the way to do it.
You betcha.
Obviously.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Don't you want to be a fun part of this rambly stream of conscious stuff? It's fun.
Yeah,
come on.
It's great.
Come join us. Plug your work. It'll be good.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's talk about something webcomic-y. And I think the thing we should talk about is Tom Preston. You guys familiar with what happened to him at the MCM London Expo thing?
Heard a guy
recently.
guy in a mask came and squirted him with water while he was drawing for fans?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's earned a bit of a reputation on Tumblr for being basically a terrible person. And I'm not entirely sure why. I don't really follow it, but someone thought it'd be fine to go and squirt this guy with water. Which is obviously not fair and not the thing to do.
No.
You know, just because someone makes work you don't like, that doesn't mean you get to spray him in the face with water.
No.
No, that's pretty sleazy.
Yes. I saw on webcomics.com that Brad Giger put up some commentary on that.
Mm. Yeah.
Very obviously he was against it.
Well, yeah. Because if it can happen to him, it can happen to anyone.
Right. It's true. And, you know, there's other things besides water.
Good point.
That is very true. Yeah. Like urine, for example.
Exactly. Other liquids. Then there could be solids.
True.
Also that is bad. Very true.
They don't fit in a squirt gun as quite as well, but there are other methods. So let that be a lesson to you kids. So if you're presenting at a convention and suddenly a flaming bag appears in front of your table, don't go stomping on it.
I would also recommend bringing a change of clothes, you know, just in case. Actually, yeah. I do have an interesting story along those lines. I was at the Long Beach. Was it Long Beach or Anaheim? It was Anaheim Comic Con. About a year and a half ago, I was exhibiting with Soul Geek. And I went to the bathroom, and I was sitting in the stall, as one does. And, no, I wasn't sitting. I was standing, sorry, because I was, you know, doing that thing. And, sorry, this I'm just trying to remember the specifics.
Gotta get the visuals right here.
Yeah. So, basically, I hear the door slam open behind me, the stall door, because apparently the lock didn't work. And this guy starts peeing on me, basically.
Hmm.
And I turn around, and I guess he realized what he was doing, because as I turn around, he'd basically run off, and I didn't get to see who he was. And I was, you know, midstream, so I wasn't really in a position to chase after him. But I had to go to the local Target and buy a new pair of jeans. Because I wasn't staying locally. I was staying up in L.A. So I didn't have any other jeans. So I had to buy new jeans. And I basically just threw the old ones away.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, you know, William Shatner or somebody.
No, it was just some guy. I would like to think maybe it was, William Shatner. Wouldn't that be nice? William Shatner peed on me at a comic convention.
That would, you know. You know, if that happened, you could probably get those pants autographed and sell them.
Exactly. Exactamente.
Too late now.
Yeah.
So now what?
I guess you didn't find out if he was a fan or not of Jump Leads.
I'm going to guess he probably wasn't. If anything, if he was even aware of me.
Hmm.
Well, you know, it could be he was marking his territory with you. Kind of fanboy thing.
Mimi.
Go with that.
So,
turn it into a...
I think that the lesson we're taking away here is never go to conventions.
Yes. That's how you make your money, is never ever send a convention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Frankie says relax. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got a con. Oh, come on, that was funny.
That was pretty good. That was...
Yes.
Awkward pause number 53.
I think I have to call it. I'm going to have to go.
All right. This has been an episode.
You don't have to stop on my account. I'm walking away.
Well,
we got to save something for the next one.
That's true. We gotta, you know, build up.
Yeah.
We really, really, really gotta zig-a-zig-a.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, hey, for you know, kind of a spur of the moment, let's get together, come on, everybody, let's put on a show, type show. Here we are. Oh. We did it.
Hey, Pluto!
We're moving forward. Let's do
That's
it.
That's right. We'll get that schedule going again. Twice a year.
Yeah.
Twice a year. Three times.
Let's dream big. Let's go for 6 times a year.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can do it. If I divide this episode into 6 parts, we can do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me leave you with this question that has been posed on Yahoo Answers.
Ooh.
Here is the question.
Okay.
It's coming up. You ready for this?
Yes.
Is Taco Bell open on Easter Sunday? Please answer fast.
Discuss.
It's an emergency.
So was that posted on Easter Sunday, or was, if it's just now, I don't think it's too much of an emergency for next Easter.
All I know is it was posted 4 years ago.
Huh. Oh, okay. Good.
Hope they're not still waiting on an answer.
Yes. And apparently there weren't any answers posted to the question.
They're specifically waiting for Podwarp to answer their question, and we off gallivanting.
Yeah.
But
if any of you have an answer, you can contact us at podwarp1999@comicostrich.com. And let us know. Let us know if Taco Bell's open on Easter.
I'm dying to know.
Yeah. The question has been posed. So, we have been people, and this has been an episode.
Yes, it has.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
All right.
Thanks. You don't have to go home, but off.
Peep. We can edit that part out.
The question though is, do we want to?
Yes. Maybe it goes at the end of the bonus.
I think we need. No, I think the end of the podcast should be Mark going one.
One, yes.
Yes.
It's time for a sequel. Mark, can you say two?
There you go. I like that.
The intro and outro music is Earth's Assault on the Central AI by Tetix from the album Technology Crisis. A link to Tetix's website is available on the Podwarp 1999 website.